The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We've got some breaking news out of our nation's capital. Our Adam Schefter is joining us now. Adam, what can you tell us about why Washington went with the Washington football team name?
Dinah, there is so much that a team has to get done before it puts together an actual nickname. And if you remember, on July 3rd, the Washington football team announced that it would engage in a thorough review of its name to see where it would go going forward. And obviously, they're not going to be using the Redskins. And they're going to be spending the next 50 days expunging that name from FedEx Field, from the training facility, from the social media online accounts. Wherever they have the Redskins name, that's going to be retired, they hope, by the time the season starts or is scheduled to start on September 13th at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. In the interim, there's so much to do in terms of a new logo, uniform. There are people that have trademarks on various names because they've been waiting for this day, waiting to see when the Washington football franchise, the Washington football team, would be changing names and going away from the Redskins, as they've decided to do within the last month. And so there is so much trademark legal work that has to be done. They can't get this done on time. And meanwhile, rookies are showing up to work. Chase Young signed today. So they had to go with something. They went with the Washington football team. They changed the Redskins name that was on the front of the jersey to Washington. You see the helmets. They took the Redskins logo off and put up the player's number in gold on the helmet. And that will be the new uniform and the new look and the new design for this season when they call themselves the Washington football team. Just too much work to do. This is work that usually takes teams 18 to 24 months before they can get it done. They were fast-tracking this as much as possible, but the timing was such that, again, rookies are reporting, training camp is getting underway soon. They needed to go in a certain direction with the NFL, and so they are going, for the time being, with Washington football team as a placeholder until they can come up with the new nickname for this franchise.
Yeah, Adam Schefter breaking that story. Hashtag HTTWFT seems to be the popular thing to do right now for Washington football fans. But let's bring in ESPN.com Washington's reporter John Keim here. John's covered this team for over 20 years here. And John, you've kept a close eye on this story. What's been the reaction from the players and even from the city over the last hour or so?
Well, I think the city has kind of been for some people, I think it feels like a big letdown because they were expecting some new name, and there were certainly some favorites that people wanted. And then I think the reaction also mirrors some of that of the players. For example, there's one player that I had texted throughout the process about this. And a couple weeks ago, he told me that he was actually kind of looking forward to the change after it was announced they're going to change, because he felt like they could be a part of something new and fresh here. And he was looking forward to that. And after this happened today, I texted him, and his reaction was kind of like what Adam was saying. This is such an important thing that I'm glad they're going to take the time to get it right. And then I texted another player who I think had the same reaction that a lot of people did. And his reaction was, this is something that people have been calling them for a while, and it's already on some of their gear. So as he said, it's not the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah, and obviously this organization needing that time, as Adam alluded to come up with the perfect name that will work. But certainly this is something that I know tons of reporters that have covered this team, and I think even fans never thought they'd see this in their lifetime, but it seems that this is moving in a direction, as it is, to a new name, which I'm sure we'll find out by next year. That being said, let's bring our panel in. We've got Dan Graziano, we have Rob Ninkovich, Marcus Spears here with us today. Hi, guys. Welcome into NFL Live. So happy to see all of you. And Marcus, I want to start with you. I just want your reaction to Washington's name announcement today.
I don't have a visceral reaction. I think the name is a byproduct of the fact that Dan Snyder said he would never change the name and not being prepared for this moment. Listen, even in between the time when they announced that they were changing the name, I don't believe that that was enough time to go through trademarking and copywriting and changing names. But this is something that's been talked about for years. A lot of people have suggested that Dan Snyder change the name. And he was quoted as saying, I will never change the name. So he's caught off guard. Obviously, these sponsors, when we heard about them pulling money to Nike, to FedEx, or what have you, that changed everything about the narrative of keeping the old name of Washington's football team. So listen, Washington football team is what it is because Dan Snyder said he would never change the name until his hand was forced to change the name, and he's not prepared to have something else in place to rename what their team would be for the long term.
All right, so Rob, that being said, you know, the team doesn't have a real name at this point. They're just the Washington football team. So if you were a player playing in Washington right now, how would you feel about playing for a team with no name?
Well, I think, first of all, they can't just rush into having a new name. I understand that aspect of it, and the time frame doesn't allow that to happen, take place. So, you know, as a player, you know, when I was playing football, you're the mascot or who you're, you know, the Patriots, all that stuff. It's cool to have that, but I don't think the guys are going to – it's going to distract them from not playing up to the levels that they're supposed to play at. So for them at this moment – you know, they still are rocking the same colors, you know, so I don't think it's going to affect the team, so to speak. And I think it's probably the right decision to not just jump to a name right now in a rush. So for them to be the Washington team, I mean, that's what it is. So they're just going to have to deal with it and go out there and perform. And, you know, they'll figure it out. And maybe they can make it a fan vote or something, make it intriguing to where the new name would be a reveal. And then it would be a big deal to have the reveal. So I think as far as a player is concerned, it's not going to affect their performance in any way.
Yeah. That being said, Graz, where do we go from here?
Yeah, Diana, I mean, look, once they've made the decision to go with Washington football team for the 2020 season, that buys them some time. You heard Adam reference the 18 to 24 month time frame that some people have put on the process of a name change, so it's not out of the question to think they could be Washington football team for longer than just this year while they continue to work through everybody they have to run the name change by and whether they have to work on getting a trademark that somebody else already has. Those kinds of things are all in play. So yeah, I mean, I think Marcus's point is correct. This is sort of what happens when you ignore a long-term opportunity to make a change and then the necessity of change is thrust upon you, as it was Dan Snyder, by that sponsor pressure. But I think at this point, they're going to take their time. They're definitely committed to using this non-name for the 2020 season and possibly beyond if it takes that long to get the name that they ultimately want.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, other news out of Washington today wasn't just about the name. They signed their first-round pick, Chase Young, as he indicated in a tweet this morning, actually. He posted a photo with the caption, "Time to leave my legacy." Washington has officially announced the deal with Young, but they certainly retweeted it along with changing their Twitter handle to their current team name, the Washington football team. So obviously really good news there out of Washington as they sign up their young rookie.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All eyes on TB12. You see him rolling up there, the QB1 for Tampa Bay, riding in the pickup truck. Got the camo shirt on. Rolled up today for the first time to the Tampa Bay Bucs facility here. He's taking his COVID-19 test. He'll have another test on Sunday to undergo a physical Monday and then ramp things up. So last night he took to Twitter saying, "There are more questions than answers, but we must have faith in our NFLPA. Leaders, both players and staff, to get the game and business of football in the right place, let's stay unified and demand necessary answers. NFL, as partners, we're all in this together." And of course, the LFJ, as we know what that means. So that being said, Dan, let's bring you in here. So players like Brady, they're reporting to team facilities or taking their COVID-19 test. But really, at this point, what do we know with how this is going to go after today?
Yeah, the testing protocols, as agreed to and announced Monday night, Diana, you see Tom Brady in that video going into a trailer. He's not going to be in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers facility until he tests negative twice with a span of 72 hours between tests. So as you mentioned, he goes in for a test today. He sits home for 2 days. He goes back for another test on Sunday. If both of those tests come back negative, he can go in Monday for his physical and he can start the football work he needs to do in the team facility. That applies to any player who's showing up to start training camp, that same timetable. So as you see these report dates start to happen, you'll notice that it's going to be a while before anybody's on the field or even in a weight room or a meeting room. And in terms of what happens once training camp finally starts, the Players Association and the league are still in negotiations about a number of things, what the ramp-up period will be to get guys ready who haven't been working out all summer, what the opt-out procedures will be for players that aren't comfortable playing in the pandemic, and then the big picture one in terms of how to make up for the projected revenue shortfall in the league this year. The owners still want to take that big hit this year and next year, drop the salary cap severely, and then push it back up as soon as possible. The players want to spread that hit out over a couple of years. A lot of negotiations still going on in terms of how to get this 2020 season off the ground.
May we continue with the league and the Players Association negotiating to get us more answers. But that being said, out in Los Angeles, our Lindsay Theory is reporting that the Rams are expected to start training camp after the July 28th start date set by the league. So obviously there's lots of reasons why different organizations are doing different things. I know from talking to different GMs and coaches around the league today about that, some have the thought that August is going to be very long for these teams without those preseason games, which we found out just a few days ago that there's going to be no preseason games. So perhaps maybe the Rams feel that the time is on their side then. But that being said, let's bring our panel back in here. You know, Marcus, as you hear teams making different decisions as to when they want to bring their guys in, what do you think the biggest obstacles are for players returning?
The obvious is not getting COVID-19, but also it's so many ancillary things outside of the actual facility that you have to be aware of. Listen, containment. We see the NBA right now in a bubble. Major League Baseball is about to start back up, and we've seen these guys quarantine, go through contract negotiations, and fight to get to this point with a shortened season. They only gonna play 60 games. The NFL has trudged along. And they've been the league that has had the most time to try to figure out these protocols and plans. But honestly, and I think everybody is in agreement that you won't be able to avoid this. The biggest thing that I think is the issue is going forward. Like, what if it's just a massive outbreak of COVID-19 in the NFL? What are the plans and protocols for that? Does the NFL just trudge along? Do you make sure guys having to sit out maybe a week, 2 weeks, and then come back and get tested and have to sit out more time to make sure it's a negative test, come back. It's so many variables. And the one thing I thought the NFL did a really good job of was staying fluid. Now we're here. Now we've arrived at the point where teams and people have to start getting together, which was always going to be the biggest monster and the scariest thing about getting football season going. So I just think they need to be ready for anything. But the major one for me is, if it's a major outbreak throughout the NFL of COVID-19, will they shut everything down and decide not to play? Or will they take that time and come back way later into the summer, fall, and decide to start the season?
Yeah, Marcus, you've been talking about that almost every day, and it's really a good point. It's obviously something that's still being discussed. But, Rob, you know Tom Brady well. You know he's a creature of habit. In terms of an obstacle for him specifically, what do you see being the biggest challenge for Brady now?
Well, obviously, it's coming into a new situation with new teammates, a new city, a new facility. Look, when he was in New England, if he wanted to go get a bottle of water, he knew exactly where to go. You know, he's in Tampa. He really hasn't even been in the facility. So, look, there's going to be a learning curve on everything. And look, when he was years past with the guys, you know, the receiving core, he'd go and have a football field made somewhere so those guys could all throw and run routes together. So I think that, there's obviously going to be a difference, not just for Tom, but for every single quarterback, wide receiving core, offense. They haven't had the time that they usually have to get their timing together. You see that he was getting together with the team off on a different site, and some people had things to say about that. But, you know, I just think that every single quarterback is going to be challenged this season because they didn't have the time. You know, the one thing that Tom does have is 20 years of experience. So I think he understands what to expect, but nobody knows what to expect with this virus.
Yeah, no, for sure. And shout out to the local news helicopters out there. I've never seen so much Tom Brady video in my life. They're all over it. It's quite the beat down there. So good job by them. So yesterday, guys, we reported what CNN was reporting, which was that New York Jets owner Woody Johnson was subject to a State Department investigation following allegations that he made racist and sexist comments while serving as an ambassador to the United Kingdom and sought to have the Open Championship played at a resort owned by President Trump. Now, Donald Trump denied this. An NFL spokesperson said the league is aware of the CNN report and referred questions to the State Department. Well, Johnson denied the allegations on Twitter, posting, "I have followed the ethical rules and requirements of my office at all times. These false claims of insensitive remarks about race and gender are totally inconsistent with my longstanding record and values." Then Jets Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams reacted on Twitter, "We need the right people at the top. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. If you don't think this is wrong, you're part of the problem, not the solution." So Woody Johnson then put out another statement. At least the Jets wound up putting out, sticking by their owner as well. So, Dan, I want to start with you before we get the reaction from the guys here on the entire situation here. You know, what more can you tell us about what's happening?
Well, what's happening from the league standpoint is they'll monitor what happens with the State Department and what they find in terms of supporting the CNN report. And if they find out, if the State Department finds out that what's behind it was true, then they may take action. And if that happens, then the league may take action as well. It's also conceivable, though we don't know for a fact yet, that the NFL would conduct its own investigation into Woody Johnson's behavior as alleged in the CNN report and denied by Woody Johnson. But at this point, the NFL is going to wait and see, because they said in their statement they're referring questions to the State Department. They obviously want to make sure that whoever's in charge there gets through their own investigation into what Woody Johnson did or did not do before they decide on anything. And it's not a present problem for the league, because Woody Johnson is in London. And I don't mean to minimize it at all. What I mean is, it's not like if they put a player on the commissioner's exempt list because they needed to get him off the field. Woody Johnson's not directly involved right now, and they're in the offseason, so it's not something where they have to act with any urgency. They'd rather wait and do it right.
Marcus, what about you? You're in the locker room. You're playing for the New York Jets. You see these reports and allegations. How are you feeling about it?
First, let me expound on something that Dan said, because I thought he made a key point about Woody Johnson being in London. Listen, and for all the people that want to see Woody gone, or the Johnson family is not going to lose the Jets. They're not going to be forced to sell the Jets. So let's get that out in the open already. Now, here's the thing. This is how the price you pay, whether this is true or whether it is false, players are going to raise an eye and have second thoughts about going play for the Jets organization, because the majority of this league is made up of African Americans. And if they make the decision to believe this, regardless of it coming out publicly that is true, this may be enough information for a lot of guys. The climate that we are living in this country right now, with all of these conversations going on and things being unveiled about people and things that's been transpiring in the country, this is not a good look for the Jets. And I know Woody is not involved every day in everyday business with the Jets, but it's going to be a bad look for majority of African-American players in the NFL who's paying attention to this situation and have been forced to pay attention to things like this because we've been in a pandemic and so many social justice things have been going on in the country. So this is a very, very important time for the New York Jets as far as football goes in determining how they want to push forward to not only attract black players to come play in New York, but also keep the ones that they have there.
Yeah, no, certainly. And obviously there's another layer to this with Jamal Adams being involved and being the one to voice it, knowing that he's unhappy there with his contract situation. And to tweet at the owner, the layers just continue there as the situation just seems to continually get ugly between Jamal and the New York Jets.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Run it back. That's the theme of the Kansas City Chiefs this season. They've been using that hashtag since Mahomes signed that big deal. Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones also signed a real big deal. He predicted the team would build a dynasty and win 5 championships. Today on First Take, his teammate Tyreek Hill was asked what he thought of that prediction.
Well, I'm not going to say he's telling a fib, you know, but Chris Jones, he's definitely a man of his word, you know, and we're definitely creating something special here in KC. So I don't see why not. Why say 5? Why not go 7 rings? You know what I'm saying? So right now we just chasing joy. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do. So I'm going over 5 and I'm saying 7.
Going all in there, Tyreek Hill, who's also using his signals very good while he's driving. Nick, you think these guys have ever heard of a Super Bowl hangover?
I mean, I love the confidence. I love the confidence. 7, though? 7? You're going to be the have the most of all time? Look, how about just winning 2? I mean, you got to win another one before you can get to 7. So, I mean, the confidence, yeah, they're super excited. They just won a Super Bowl. But now they have the targets on them, and everyone's going to measure themselves accordingly against the Kansas City Chiefs. So every single game they play, the other team, even if that other team has got 2 wins and their season's done, they're going to come in and play Kansas City tough because they want to measure themselves accordingly, see where they're at for next season. So, look, it's not going to be easy to even win 2. They have the talent. They're loaded. Their roster is loaded. They could do it again. But like Kelsey said, a hungry dog, but, you know, fat dogs, they don't run too fast. So hopefully they don't get fat and happy.
Oh, for sure. Marcus, what do you think? 7? A little high?
Y'all, we ain't taking this seriously. Are we? Like, I was a part of that interview. Let's be real. Like, a figment of the imagination. Not saying that it can't happen, because somebody would have said 6 couldn't happen. And I understand Tariq's sentiment and where he's coming from as far as where they are right now. And I would feel the same way if I had the collection of talent that Kansas City has and Pat Mahomes being the quarterback. But 7 Super Bowls, like we have legit. We in a lot of trying different times right now. And things are happening that we've never seen happen before. But I would be out of my damn mind to sit here and let somebody tell us they're going to win 7 Super Bowls and take it seriously, as hard as that is to do. So I feel him. I understand where it's coming from. I do believe the Chiefs will win at least 3 Super Bowls during Pat Mahomes' tenure at minimum. But 7, let's move on from this discussion because I feel dumb talking about it.
I don't know, Dan, they did a good job locking up their players. They gave a lot of long-term deals to these guys to make sure that they can sustain and, as they've been saying on Twitter, run it back. Are they going to be able to keep up with all the other teams as they add younger players, knowing that these guys are just going to get older?
Yeah, look, I mean, you'd rather be the Chiefs than almost any other team. I mean, they're outstanding. They just won the Super Bowl. You mentioned they have long-term deals already done with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, with Tariq Hill, with Chris Jones. They just got done their franchise player. It's even a couple of years before they have to worry about Travis Kelce. So they're in a good spot. There's no question about it. Obviously, Andy Reid, outstanding head coach, one of the greats of all time. Mahomes are just getting started in what he can do. So I can see why the Chiefs would look around and go, hey, nobody's going to beat us for years. But the Chiefs should know better. The Chiefs were a play or two away from making the Super Bowl the year before and didn't. They should know how difficult it is. It's going to get more difficult because only one team per conference is going to get a bye in the playoffs going forward. And the NFL is the ultimate you never know what's going to happen league because it one injury here or there to a key guy can derail the entire season.
Damn.
So it's fun right now to talk about it, but they got to win. Nico was right. They got to win two before they can think about winning more than two.
Marcus.
Dad, let's stop using our brains on this, D. I love you. I'm trying to explain. Nico here trying to explain. Can we stop using our brains on this? Seven Super Bowls. If somebody would have said somebody would win six Super Bowls, we would have said they were out of their damn mind. So us having a discussion about seven Super Bowls makes Diana Russini, Marcus Spears, Dan Graziano, and Rob Neat out of their damn mind for having this discussion.
But
what's
I
want
to know if you said that to Tyreek when he said it on First Take. What was your response when he said it?
I didn't get a chance to respond, but Max responded the right way. He was like, Tariq, you got to win another one before you can start talking about seven, which was my sentiment exactly.
Yeah. Well, look, quarantine's making everyone a little crazy, so me too included. I'm going to go
yeah,
eight.
Yeah, we crazy.
I'm going to go eight just to fire you up. Just because you say my name like my dad does,
where
it just
it
like
end?
Makes me cringe. All right, so other news, guys. Free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown wrote on Instagram Wednesday night indicating that he wants to play in the NFL again, and he's urging the league to resolve his investigation into all the legal issues he's got going on. Now, the post came 2 days after Brown teased his potential retirement from the NFL in a tweet. So it's, you know, back and forth. Here we go. Obviously, we know that he's got some of these legal issues off the field, the civil suit, that the league is also doing their own investigation. So, Marcus, let me just go back to you. You think Antonio Brown should get another chance?
I think he should. And let me preface this by saying I think this is the refuge. And there are not many stories that play out publicly like Antonio Brown's has over the years. But there are these type of stories in the NFL with guys that have gotten chance after chance after chance. I'm sure you and Dan know that more so than anybody, Diane, because of y'all great coverage of the league and being in some of these moments. I think publicly what Antonio Brown has done, the worst tag you can get, which I think is going to be his biggest hill to climb, and I'm just talking about football. The off-the-field allegations, if those are found to be true, if those become charges, we not having the discussion. So I want everybody at home to understand we having this discussion with the caveat that those things get worked out and it's not something that keeps him away, that forces him away from football. Now, when we get on the field, we all know your talent, especially with his talent, makes room for you. And basically what that means is Antonio Brown, because of how well he plays football, gets more chances. But the biggest problem with his resume is the locker room. What will he cause if you bring him in? And I say he should because I believe that this is the only way Antonio Brown pretty much sees the light or at least fakes it until he can finish out a career. And I feel crazy for saying this. I've actually been quoted saying no team should pick him up and nobody should take a chance on him. Seeing him work out with players in the offseason, having those discussions, and even this right here to me was a cry from the NFL to let me back in because this is the only thing I identify with. So it's hard for me to say he shouldn't, so I'll say he should.
Yeah, you're kind of being sensitive to him and empathetic, which I can understand, but you talk to those Raiders players.
Which is hard, D.
It's hard with his background and with the things that he's been accused of, you know, but you talked to this Raiders team last year. They're 2 days out of Monday Night Football opening up their season, and they don't know whether or not their best player on the team is going to be able to play or not because of all the distractions. So, Rob, someone like you who's been in a locker room that just does not put up with distractions, in fact, has zero tolerance, he had a cup of coffee there in New England. It didn't work out there, but, you know, listening and knowing all the things he comes with, do you think Antonio Brown is worth all the stuff that he comes with?
Well, it depends on if he has really truly changed. And look, I think that the talent, look, we all know his talent is tremendous, and his on-field talent is tremendous, but has the help that he has gotten off the field recently changed his personality to where he could come into a locker room and be a great teammate and do the right things for a team to help that team win? We all know that his talent on the field can help a team win, but if it's in the locker room, if things aren't going right off of the football field around the team, that could potentially hurt your team dynamic. So you'd have to sit down with him, have some interviews with him to see how he has changed. Sometimes guys change just not having football in their lives and they realize how much they miss it. You can take things for granted sometimes when you've played a long time and you feel like it's just going to constantly be there. But since he hasn't played and he has been without football, maybe he truly has had a change in what he realizes his last chance to play football is coming up. And the clock is ticking. He's not 25 years old. He's becoming an older football player, so teams might not even want to make the risk of, hey, bringing a guy in that's in his 30s potentially isn't going to give you the production that he had in his 20s. So he definitely would have to change the minds of a lot of ownership and some coaches that, hey, I'm going to come in and do the right thing to help your team win.
Yeah, no player in NFL history has more seasons with 100 receptions than Antonio Brown, and that's with six. So let's just stick talking receivers, guys. Dan, can you take us through some of the rookies that signed their contracts today, starting with CeeDee Lamb in Dallas?
Yeah, a couple first-rounders. Diana, CeeDee Lamb, officially a member of the Dallas Cowboys, having signed his rookie deal. And then he'll join Dak Prescott and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and all that talent, Ezekiel Elliott, all that talent in the Dallas offense, and obviously makes them even more potentially explosive. Out in Denver, another first-round rookie, Jerry Jeudy. He comes to agreement on his rookie contract today, so that's a key weapon in place for Drew Lock as he starts his first full season as the Broncos starter. You're starting to see some of these first-round picks sign. It's taken a while. I think we're now up to 21. That's as long as nobody's signed in the last half hour, so pretty soon should be at all 32. One of the first to sign was Tua Tagovailoa, the Miami quarterback, and he did an interview with USA Today recently where he said he was fully healthy and ready to go for training camp. That connects with what we've been hearing out of Miami with regard to Tua's health. But when you talk to people there, the key thing is they have to see him on the field in practice. Hasn't been able to do that all offseason.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Good news for Minnesota fans, that's if they love Mike Zimmer, which they should because he's been quite successful. Well, the Vikings have extended his contract for the 64-year-old. He had one more year left on his deal. They signed him up for a few more years, which will keep him there in Minnesota for quite a bit. Now, since taking over as head coach, he's led the Vikings to the seventh-best win percentage in the NFL. He's led Minnesota to the playoffs three times, including two division titles. And no team has had a higher defensive efficiency rating than the Vikings during Zimmer's tenure, along with GM Rick Spielman, who seems to be running the show there and doing a real good job with that. So that said, Nick, the big question here is, you know, you see the stats there with Zimmer running it, and they've had success, but they just can't get over this hump. Do you think that he and Kirk Cousins can bring a Super Bowl to Minnesota over the next few seasons?
I don't see it. I think it's going to be tough. I don't see that happening. The NFC is really, really difficult. That's a hard road to get to the Super Bowl. You got the 49ers. You got Seattle. You know, you got Tampa, who's going to be an up and coming. You got the Saints. Look at all these teams that are stacked. Packers in their division. They're not going to be easy. They're not going to roll over. So I just don't see it happening. They're going to be a consistent 10-win team, 11 wins. You know, last year they're 10-6. Tough on defense. Offensively, we've seen the change in offenses in the recent NFL, and they just need to be more explosive offensively. They need to have a more dynamic offense to go with that defense. So I don't see it happening unless they just change and go a lot better offensively, and they just are better than the 49ers, which I don't see that happening. Better than Seattle, I don't see that happening. So I think they'll be a little bit short every year.
Yeah, Dan, you've covered the Vikings before. You think in terms of this roster and their leadership, they've got the recipe here to go far in the playoffs.
They have the recipe, Diana. What they need is consistency throughout the regular season so they can get that seeding. I mean, I was there, you were there too, in New Orleans the day that they beat the Saints in the playoffs last year. It was a stunning upset and an incredible performance by them. But then the next week, they end up in San Francisco. You can't win too many of those games in a row, those road playoff games. So obviously, they need to find a way to keep everyone healthy. Dalvin Cook is a guy that needs to stay healthy for a whole season, and they need to find a replacement for Stephon Diggs. But, yeah, they've been able to keep the defense pretty well together. I'm not sure how much longer that lasts, but they believe in Mike Zimmer, and obviously extending his contract proves that.
Can Kirk Cousins win a Super Bowl, Marcus?
No, based on everything we watch Kirk Cousins do. We've seen him win some big games, but to put Kirk Cousins in the Super Bowl, to me, is crazy based on what we've seen. Can he? Yes. Quarterbacks that are playing in the league that are above average can get hot and get on a roll and play well enough to get to a Super Bowl and potentially win one. But I'm also thinking about the quarterbacks he's going to have to beat. And he made a big stride, to Dan's point, when both of y'all were at the game last year when they beat the Saints in the Dome. But then you got to go through San Francisco, whose defense is formidable. And are you a difference maker at the position? I don't see Kirk Cousins that way. And that's not to throw shade at him. The man is well paid. And I just wouldn't bet on Kirk Cousins in the NFC over some of the guys that I think have the same, if not more talented teams that are better quarterbacks at the position.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, well, Kirk Cousins doesn't even have Stephon Diggs anymore, Adam Thielen was on the show with us yesterday. And he says that they're going to be just fine. This new class of receivers, he says that they're talented. Wait till you see. So we're looking forward to seeing that hopefully sometime very soon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on NFL Live, the pro football team in D.C. retired their nickname earlier this month. They're going to call themselves the Washington Football Team, pending the adoption of a new name. Our Adam Schefter broke the story. He's got more.
With rookies reporting to work and training camp about to get underway, Washington had to do something about its new nickname. And so for the time being, as a temporary placeholder, Washington has gone with Washington Football Team for the upcoming season, while at the same time they survey fans, consumers, players, alumni to seek suggestions on a proposed new nickname that will live with that franchise indefinitely. They also will take the next 50 days to expunge all references to Redskins, whether that's in FedEx Field, on the team's training facility, or on the team's website. That is going away, and what will stay this year is the Washington Football Team. Similar uniforms with Washington covering the Redskins' name on the front and the Redskins' logo being removed for the helmet in favor of the player's number in gold. But going forward for this season, they are the Washington Football Team.
Thanks, Adam. From the NFL to the NBA, LeBron James weighs in, just waking up from my pregame nap to see about the Washington Football Team. Is that real? No way. Oh, man, they had a real thorough, intense, long board meeting about that one, huh? Obviously being pretty funny. In honor of baseball's return, guys, let's talk about the biggest home run hitters in the NFL. Nick, let's start with you.
I got to go with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that guy is so fast. Want to talk about a home run? If you can take the top off a defense, every time he touches the football, it could potentially be a scoring touch. So that guy, home run hitter, every time he touches the ball. So my guy's Tyreek Hill. Speed.
Marcus.
Y'all might have forgot, but I haven't. His name is Saquon Barkley. And all he's done his whole career since Penn State is hit home runs, came into the league and did the same thing. I expect him back fully healthy and to hit home runs again. He's a beast, and it's about to be on display.
I like Marquise Hollywood Brown in Baltimore going forward. He had an 83-yard touchdown against Miami. He was 18 yards a catch in college. Watch out as Lamar Jackson and that passing offense develop for Marquise Brown.
I'm going Derrick Henry for that one. Guys, thank you so much for a great show today. We will see you
all
tomorrow. The Jump
with
Rachel Nichols is next.